the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very happy new year, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And entering our 15th year here on Sirius XM. Amazing. Just amazing. I'm always astounded at a time like this. Yeah, that you start out the year and it just so happy to do what we're doing, and we hope that everybody had as delightful a Christmas and New Year's as we did. Casey and I just talking off air. Getting ready, and Case was in New York. He was in New York as much as I was during the Christmas break, and we were just talking about doing the touristy thing in New York, and his daughter old enough to Jax is old enough to appreciate the landmarks in New York, and the first missive I got from Case was, "It's cold here." It was 38-ish, and it looked like we were getting a white Christmas, maybe, and then it turned into a wet Christmas and so forth. But it was really a nice, and for Tina and I, nice and quiet. And we did family things and smattering of racing pleasure and viewing, and we'll get into that, obviously, and a lot of the year-end cleanup the next 3 weeks until we get to the eclipses, is that the eclipse? The eclipses? That doesn't sound right. The Eclipse Awards, and it is eclipse season, also known around here as Passover. It's the old Bob Hope joke. It's just too good. The first thing that on the eclipse front that was tangible, aside from people revealing their ballots left and right, and I guess we'll get into that, and we'll compare some notes as voters file through here the next week or so. They're going to announce the finalists of the voting portion. They're going to announce on Saturday, which I don't recall that being a regular thing. I think usually we've actually picked up a number of times. We've picked up the audio for the reveal. Maybe that started since the Gulfstream award process, and they're going to announce before their race day on Saturday at Gulfstream. They'll reveal the top three vote getters, the finalists in the categories, and then on the 24th, they'll hand out hardware. And one name that already has been anointed or granted, presented, Joe Harper, the Eclipse Award of Merit. And the Eclipse Award of Merit always seems to be the right choice, you know? it's never one that you can argue with. Joe Harper and his long, successful tenure at Del Mar being feted this year, and really, really appropriate. Joe has overseen a real ascent at Del Mar, from being kind of a appreciated summer venue into most recently even a Breeders' Cup site host, and now seemingly going to be part of the Breeders' Cup hosting rotation. And Joe Harper, a fascinating guy. We had a wonderful visit with him at University of Arizona at the symposium two years ago. And we'll definitely get Joe on for another visit in coordination with his Eclipse Award of Merit. You know, aside from being hailing from Cecil B. DeMille, and I haven't actually had as in depth a conversation about that as I'd like with Joe Harper. Next time, you know, as part of his visit, we'll let him talk about his being, you know, part really of Hollywood history and royalty on that front. But Joe's been on a longer retirement tour than Elton John. I was going to say Billy Joel. He's not retiring. Wasn't Joe sort of announced a quasi retirement and really hasn't gone anywhere? So, Joe Harper, Eclipse Award of Merit, and a lot of the other non-voting awards will be announced here in coming days. Today's what, Wednesday? So I'm sure you'll start to see press releases on media awards and so forth. So, you know, those kinds of things, photograph and the like. But I wanted to mention Joe Harper. The racing over the holiday period has been great, and that includes yesterday. New Year's Day, we get the three-year-olds. Two-year-olds became three. Three-year-olds became older horses and so forth. And fillies became mares if they are 5 years old. And colts became horses. One of the great, I don't know, it's a smile inducer. The universal birthday of horses, January 1st. And we'll talk to Greg Sacco. Greg will be the first trainer visitor of the year. And Mind Control yesterday in the Jerome. And that was a very professional effort. Didn't necessarily, you know, score and make a quantum leap forward in terms of speed, but in terms of a figure. But it was a very polished, I thought, performance. He did exactly what John Velasquez asked, and the Red Oak, the Brunetti family homebred, really starts the year off smashingly. The hopeful winner, non-threat in the Breeders' Cup juvenile, but returns to one turn here. Maybe that'll be part of the equation, part of the question going forward from Mind Control. But for now, 88 buyer, by the way, if you hadn't seen the fig. But this was a very good effort and a excellent launching point for Greg Sacco going forward. If you haven't seen it, make sure you watch. And as the three-year-olds kicked off their campaign and officially the trail toward the classics, we also had, at the same time, the end of the three-year-old season and Santa Anita's kickoff to the winter. Always a highlight. And Boxing Day after Christmas, a lot of fun. If you read what I wrote for My Handicapping, you really had a sense that it was going to be a formful start, you know, to the season, and it largely was. There was, I suppose, Dream Tree's performance, the lone letdown from a favorite or from an expectation standpoint, the previously undefeated Dream Tree. But McKinsey, when it came to the Malibu, and as excited as everybody was, appropriately, for the Malibu, it was a demolition, an equine wrecking ball. McKenzie, who, when you look back on it, and we'll talk to Bob Baffert later today about McKenzie, who seems like the Pegasus Dubai World Cup equation makes logical sense. But when you think back to what Baffert said going into, coming out of the Pennsylvania Derby, going into the Breeders' Cup, the signs were there. He was letting on that he didn't necessarily expect McKenzie to be at his best in that Breeders' Cup. And he said it. He said when they came out of the Pennsylvania Derby that, you know, the horse had taken some weight, that, you know, he pressed him to get ready for the Pennsylvania Derby, a grade one opportunity. Well, he follows it up with another grade one. And you really do feel like McKenzie, considering all the eagerness there is to bash Justify, which is bizarre, but nonetheless, you really get the sense that we missed out on McKenzie, you know, having a complete season and an opportunity to, you know, involve himself in the classics. I mean, I can tell you that from a voting standpoint, you know, for me, and I voted, I'll do one reveal right here. I had Good Magic as my second choice behind Justify. To me, it's important, you know, that, you know, horse, a three-year-old, you know, get some shots in the classics. And to me, it's not debatable, really, that the value of, I mean, the people trying to make a case for, oh, that there's too much. We discussed this with Haskin. There's too much emphasis on the Triple Crown. No, there isn't. There isn't too much emphasis on the Triple Crown. There's appropriate and just enough emphasis. But boy, what would it have been like if Baffert had to send out, you know, if McKenzie had been healthy and hadn't had to miss that time? Because he's really nice. That was a bit of a jaw dropper. Yeah, and yeah, Andy Beyer is going to be with us tomorrow. And I'll do a little hint. I'll do some foreshadowing. He's going to be on to tell you why Justify shouldn't be Horse of the Year. I think he's got a strong opinion on this. That's what you expect, though, from Andy. I also, when Andy's on, I bring him up because I want him to discuss the figure in the Malibu, a 103, and it had to be a little bit of a tricky number to make because the horses that finished second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, they were all, what, a length and change apart. And it did feel like maybe that figure could have been a little higher. So I'll let Andy riff on that. But back to Good Magic and McKenzie, because I voted McKenzie third. You know, the first third of the year, the last third of the year. But that middle portion, it's a what might have been. And you did hear, if you saw the post-Malibu interview with Mike Pegram, you got that sense. I mean, they weren't disappointed by any means. I mean, but it is a what might have been case. Brian Corner will be here because his filly, the Calbred Spice Perfection, she was terrific. She was absolutely terrific, winning the La Brea. We'll talk about the other performances, including Giftbox, now with Costa Aronis. I got a riff on that, too, when we come back. Getting started, 2019, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and it's available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob. Decided not to play along, so it grew bigger.
Coming up on 20 into hour one, day one of 2019. And looking back to the past 10 days or so, and that most notably the opening day at Santa Anita, and some good racing since as well, including yesterday, coming down the hill, and Proctor out of the gate fast. Caribou Club, who coincidentally, I don't know if you saw my tweets from last night, I was watching, and you know, last year Proctor had a slow start when it came to the stakes wins, and didn't get a graded stake win until the Connaught Cup at Woodbine in June 2nd. And he starts off with a bang, and Caribou Club won that Connaught Cup last year, and gets Proctor's first graded stake win of the year in the Joe Hernandez coming down the hill. And there was a lot of things going on in there, including Stormy Liberal, who loves the hill. Stormy Liberal, the latest of the horses coming back from the Breeders' Cup. And there's really been a lot. You know, we even talked about this right fairly quickly, you know, coming back. Well, hell, the Broman, right? The Broman filly came back in a week. But you've had a lot of horses run back from Breeders' Cup, and Stormy Liberal was looking like a winner. And Joe Talamo dove inside and had the opportunity when Stormy Liberal and Conquest Tsunami, actually, who was on the lead, kind of got out and left a gap. And I thought Joe Talamo rode a absolutely terrific race here. And nice win for Glen Hill Farm, Craig Burnick and Proctor. And so we'll visit. And Proctor's got Proctor's clicking along pretty good. And you know, as you know, just from his visits here, his young horses, you know, you won't even see his young horses until later in the winter. So Caribou Club, who became a 5-year-old, wins the Joe Hernandez, and he went off as second choice. It wasn't a huge upset. And you know, it's funny, Stormy Liberal just a tick under even money in here. But he ran okay, and he's prepping for, what's he headed? He's probably headed to, actually, no, Miller's not going back. I don't think he's going. Is he going back to Dubai? I don't think so. I forget. This was ostensibly a prep for something else. Back to opening day, and I mentioned Giftbox, and I bring up Giftbox. There were a couple of performances late here on the calendar that deserve mention because they figure into the Eclipse voting, or they should have, assuming everybody waited and you know didn't vote until the calendar year was as close to complete. It was certainly, you know, on the stakes front, you know, most importantly, you know, through last weekend, what was it, the 29th, right? 29th, 30th. And in addition to Giftbox win, first start for John Sadler and for Costa-Ronis, and then also the Grade 1 American Oaks on Saturday, where Competition of Ideas swamped that field for Chad Brown with Joel Rosario, and Rosario off to the predictably strong start, his return to California for the winter. And that's going to end up, as anticipated, that's going to have been a very savvy move, Ron Anderson and company. But those two performances, if you're, you know, you waited and you voted you know, at the end of the year, everybody has to turn their ballot in today. Well, two things happened here. Giftbox wins the San Antonio and only further enhances Costa Hironas' resume as the owner of the year. And, you know, there were three. For me, it was a fairly, it was fairly straightforward, fairly clear in terms of the candidacies. And I voted for Costa Hironas. He had a wonderful year. And that goes well beyond Accelerate. Here's Giftbox, Cellcourt, and on and on. I mean, they had a robust season. And, you know, sometimes there is, you know, there when it came to American Pharoah, it was fairly obvious under the circumstances that Zayats were, you know, the breeder of the year and the owner of the year and so forth. Here, there are some hairs to split, and you know, because there is no set guidelines beyond the categories, you know, you have to rely as a voter on your own. You know, you're on your own recognizance, essentially. And, you know, I thought Giftbox's win in the San Antonio really, you know, put a bow on the campaign of Hironas Racing for the year. Seth Klarovich was my second choice, and Peter Brandt, my third choice. On the other side of the voting ledger, Competition of Ideas' win did the same thing for John Gunther and Tanya as well, his daughter. But how is, you know, we've been saying this really since the spring. Sid Fernando will be with us at 10, and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And now that I think about it, I'll bring this up with Sid. You know, we basically, you know, going back to the Derby Trail season with Justify and Vino Rosso and more. And then here's Gunther getting another grade one courtesy of Competition of Ideas. John Gunther, you know, that's the kind of year as a breeder that you're looking for. And I mean, I've seen some ballots, and I kind of shake my head a little bit. I don't want to, although you've heard me riff on this before, but, you know, when Dedicated, I had this little exchange on Twitter the other night. I kind of got drawn into a discussion. Marcus Hirsch revealed his ballot, and some people responded to it. And I saw something very silly. I mean, the contention that, oh, it was a very bad year for owner and breeder. What do you mean? It was termed awful. It was an awful year for. How is any year an awful year when it comes to owner and breeder category? It's just nonsensical. But when breeders in this sport have the kind of year that John Gunther had, it's impossible not to, you know, take advantage and acknowledge. I mean, there's people that seem to look at I've discussed this at length for years. The voting for the breeder that amassed the most earnings because of their factory, it doesn't, that's not what this is for. I mean, who had disproportionate success, you know, based particularly based on their size? The earnings are nice, but in an era when you've got races like this Pegasus, you know, skewing earnings ridiculously, what does earnings mean? That's not what the category is supposed to be, you know. In the last couple of years, in particular, I've said and stressed that Seth Klarman deserved to be acknowledged as owner of the year. And last year, I voted for Live Oak for Mrs. Weber, you know, who had an exceptional, and with all the decades of success that she's had, last year was a year. You know, that the industry and this process could have acknowledged her with an eclipse. I mean, it's nice to get, you know, for your horses, but, you know, on the broader sense, acknowledging, you know, an operation like hers, in this case, John Gunther's. I mean, Summer Wind, we talked to Jane Lyon, and for the last several years, I've stressed what Fred Hertrick and John Fielding have accomplished with a medium-sized broodmare band. So, yeah, to me, it seemed very important that people waited until the end of the year to turn their ballots in. But we'll see. We'll see on the reveal. It's good the reveal is going to be Saturday, so I won't. So I won't rail too much. I'll have 48 hours to for it to sink in. The other notable performance we should mention from opening day at Santa Anita, River Boyne, and that was an exciting race. The Mathis Brothers Mile, River Boyne, it really has had a nice year, and Jeff Mullins has done a tremendous job with him. And, of course, earlier in the day, Mullins had sent out that Amandine to a win in the Lady Shamrock, Lady of Shamrock. So Mullins with a sweep of the two turf miles on opening day. And you also had, you know, I should mention, you also had a mild upset. That Big Scott Daddy in that fancy maiden race on opening day, Mike Pipey with Smith, the Scat Daddy, Cole. And that looked like a race that was going to be productive, to say the least. And we'll watch for some horses coming out of there. So opening day was certainly the big highlight. And then, you know, a few other, you know, Bob and Jackie for Baltus on day two. Wins the Eddie Logan. Then into the weekend, as mentioned, Competition of Ideas and Fahan Mura for Vladimir Serin as the favorite. That was in the Bobby Frankel as well. And straight through till yesterday. I think there might have been one other. Might have been one other that I'm not thinking of. But no, I think that might be it. So things off to a great start at Santa Anita, and it's been fun to have it back on the wagering menu. And that's something else we got to talk about, too. The last few years, we've talked about your bankroll resolutions. What are you going to do differently? What did you learn in 2018 that is going to make you a better player in 2019. We'll have those inputs as well. Let's take a break here. Bottom of the hour. So much to go over. There were some very notable performances almost everywhere that you looked. We've got to mention some things at Laurel. A couple of 2-year-olds from those stakes the other day. Gulfstream. Just kind of wading into the action. We'll get the Mucho Macho Man coming up Saturday. Some other aqueduct beside mind control, but that's who we're going to talk to next, Greg Sacco, about starting the year on the three-year-old front with the state thirsty homebred for Red Oak, for the Brunettis, and Saul Kumin involved as well with the Mattaquette, his Mattaquette partnership group. Greg Sacco starts the 2019 Trainer Conversations. Joins us next, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
And you can new jack swing on my nuts.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 20, the top of the hour, and Greg Sacco is going to join us momentarily. A quick update, and a bunch of jockey, got a whole stack of little jockey news and tidbits, and saw a nice thing, a nice piece from just a little video clip. Kendrick Carmouche working his way back and put up a clip. He thanked everybody for all their support as he comes back from a serious injury. And showed him in an arena doing some light jogging. So Kendrick Carmouche working his way back. Unfortunately, Edgar Zayas with a broken leg, one that required surgery, and he's going to be out in a couple of months. Bad timing too, because Zayas is really right in the teeth of the Gulfstream winter season, and has been winning races with alacrity. So really, that reminds me of when Joe Bravo got hurt, right? That was about the same, might have been like the same thing. Might have been like New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Remember when Joe got the series? In fact, Greg Sacco's with us, and Greg, you know, being a Jersey guy, may remember that. Greg, remember when Joe, it's got to be, what, 10 years ago? Bravo was on the brink of really, it seemed like, a breakthrough winter, and he broke his leg on either New Year's Day or something like that. Good morning. Happy New Year. Greg.
Yes.
There he is. Greg Sacco. Happy New Year to you and the team.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
Greg, what a great way to start the season for the Red Oak Homebred and Mind Control. Wins the Jerome yesterday. And you know, coming out of Breeders' Cup, you also had a couple of little hiccups between then and now. But, boy, he looked terrific yesterday. Congratulations.
Yeah, he really really trained well at Belmont. And, you know, really pleased and overwhelmed with the way he ran yesterday. And it was good to get the Breeders' Cup race out of the way. There wasn't a true indication of his ability, combination of him not shipping good for the second time to Kentucky and then, you know, getting a terrible start and losing positioning. But really trained well, rebounding after that, and trained well up to the race. And, you know, we couldn't be any happier with his performance yesterday. It was a great way to start the year.
You know, right away, Greg, a lot of people immediately started to say, oh, return to one turn, and maybe that's what he wants. But that seems to be selling him real short.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I mean, I've heard too many analogies in the races and of, you know, the hopeful and other people I have respect for. I mean, you know, what we're analyzing is, you know, right in front of us. It's kind of black and white, and people see things differently. You know, I heard, you know, the soft pace and the hopeful, and yeah, 22-4 might not be the fastest quarter, but they went 10 flat, and Nitros, who he and Mutra were the talk of Saratoga after they broke their maidens, and respectfully so, they both were, you know, outstanding maiden racers at Saratoga. And Nitros was, you know, head-to-head with him the whole race, and Mucho sat the perfect trip to, you know, we hold in high regard. I mean, you know, he's a really talented colt, and I'm, you know, you're going to hear a lot of big things of him as a three-year-old. He's, you know, trained by a great trainer in Billy Mott, and he's just, you know, a really talented horse. So, you know, the way we held him off through the whole stretch in the hopeful after being pressed by Nitros, you know, the soft fractions really doesn't resonate well with me. It's you know, everyone looks at things differently, but when a horse is at your throat, lads, head to head, it's not a soft fraction. The fractions might not have been you know, blistering, but you know, when you're going head to head, it takes a lot out of a horse. And you know, he held off, put away Nitros, and then had to hold off Mucho. You know, two of the, you know, that those two in complexity were probably the three maiden breakers at Saratoga that, you know, with the talk of the East Coast and the town. So you know, we were very pleased with the hopeful, and we didn't agree with most of the analogy. The Breeders' Cup, it just, unfortunately, things didn't work out the way we'd have liked with the shipping and the break. But came back home to New Jersey, and then we shipped to New York, and, you know, he rebounded and worked really well. So we were, you know, hoping for a big effort, but you never know until you line up in the gate. And, you know, Mind Control, and he came through with flying colors first. So we were very proud of our colt, and, you know, Johnny wrote another picture perfect place.
You bring up Johnny, and I did notice his remark and his, you know, his discussing what he learned about Mind Control in the hopeful, and that being, you know, his potential to kind of wait on horses. And this seemed like there were any number of valuable, you know, lessons and elements to this effort. And in this race, you know, you also were getting pressed by the Live Oak runner, Super Jackpot, and then as soon as he backed out of it, you know, here came, you know, another visitor in the Maryland bred, and Our Brain Trust. I know people are, you know, going to think, oh, that was, you know, one of the longer shots on the board, except that he's been running against some really nice horses, including that Kelly Rubley gelding, always mining. that came back and won, I think, last week at Laurel, won the Arnie.
Yeah, that horse is now 3-for-3. You know, really talented colt, so that was flattering for Cal's horse. I know that Cal is very high on his colt, and, you know, he ran a great race yesterday, Cal's colt. You know, he came back after the six-month layoff and ran super. And then yesterday's race was, you know, a great race against our colt. You know, two very nice colts. Super Jackpot, Mark Cassie's colt, half the awesome slew, ran a dynamite race in Florida. And, you know, he pressed us. They weren't going fast. But, like, once again, I said they were head-and-head. It does take a lot out of a horse when they're going head-and-head. And what Johnny did, what he learned from him in Saratoga about the 8-pole, looks like, you know, he looked like he put him away at the quarter pole, straining away. And then Nitros and Mucha were getting to him. But he was kind of waiting on them, and he kicked in again. It was like the same scenario yesterday where he kicked away, and then Johnny let that horse get to his flank, and he tapped him a few times, and he spurted away again. That's, you know, him getting to know him and him being, you know, Johnny being Johnny, which is, you know, arguably one of the best that ever jumped on a horse. Yep. So, you know, it was great that he was reunited with Johnny, and, you know, it was just worked out great for us. And he ran to his works, and, you know, we're proud of him.
How has he changed for you since the late fall, since Breeders' Cup, 2 months, and, you know, talk about his physical development and you know, certainly mentally, it feels like he's well named, mind control. He seems very, you know, very amenable to, you know, to what's being asked of him by Johnny in this case.
Well, people don't have a lot of opportunities to train, you know, horses that take everything in. You know, those are the special horses, the special wardens that, you know, those are the Saturday horses that show up. He's running 5 different tracks and 5 different races and showed up every time except for the one in the Cup where it just wasn't his day and the break and everything. So, you know, that being said, you know, he brings his track with him. Yesterday, he was composed in the paddock prior to the race, warmed up super, you know, broke great yesterday, did everything right. You know, and it's just, you know, he's a very smart horse. He's filled out in all the right places. You know, he cooled out great after the race yesterday, ate up last night, you know, was perfect this morning. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, you always worry about as a trainer, how they're going to come out of the race. And, you know, all systems are go. He came out perfect and, you know, very, very happy.
How much weight has he put on and where, you know, what?
Yeah.
Physically with the maturity, where do you see him changing at all physically?
Well, he's just maturing. He's always been so smart, and you know, I don't think the distance will be any limitation. It was just this race, the Jerome was on our radar after we didn't go to the springboard, and it wasn't our thinking of just being, you know, the one turn. You know, we do think he'll stretch out. He'll have to prove it to us. But I think the Withers will be definitely a strong consideration. I'll have to talk it over with my brother, Rick Sacco, who's our racing manager, and Steve Brunetti and Sal Kuhlman. You know, they'll put their heads together, and they'll be the deciding factor where his next start will be. But, you know, we'll train him in Belmont, and wherever they want to go, we'll go. But it would make sense that we'd probably run in the Withers or the Gotham. In one of his next 2 starts and take it from there.
How do you deal, Greg, going forward and planning beyond the winter and into the spring? How do you deal with the shipping issue? Because that's got to be in the back of your mind that, you know, you're going to have to do something along the way to get him to, you know, to get on a van or potentially on a plane.
And deal with it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, and it's a great question. It's definitely in the back of my mind, and definitely one of the reasons why we stayed home for the Jerome. But, you know, we could always van him to Kentucky, and it's not a long ship. If he has to get on a plane again, we'll do a few things differently with hydrating him, you know, more so than we did previously. You know, he'll just need a little extra beyond the hydrate, you know, the fluids prior to leaving and once he gets to his destination. But, you know, those are good things to worry about, but we'll cross those bridges when in the future. But it is definitely on our mind and definitely, you know, one of the deciding factors why we stayed in the Trauma and didn't go to Oklahoma. You know, it was nice to see, you know, the real mind control, and, you know, people maybe thinking that the hopeful was a soft race, which I disagreed with, but, you know, he really showed his true colors yesterday.
Well, speaking of colors,
you can't be any happier with the performance.
Not, and as you should be, because that, I thought it was really, like said earlier, it just seemed very polished and bodes well going forward. And looking back on 2018, it's always a great opportunity to take stock. And, you know, it was a... We talked at the time of Mr. Brunetti's passing, and it obviously, you know, difficult on that front for the family. But it was an excellent year on the racetrack for the Brunettis, and you know, both you and Todd Pletcher, you know, making that happen for them.
Yes, it was you know, Steve Brunetti and my brother Rick. You know, mapped out a nice plan for the horses, and Todd did a great job with Unbridled Mo and Val Harbor, and, you know, we had the success with the rest of the horses and, of course, Mind Control. So, you know, it was a nice combination and a team effort that made for, you know, a real productive year for the Brunettis. And, of course, it would have been nice for Mr. Brunetti to be here with us and enjoying it, because, you know, other than being in Hialeah, nothing more he loved than going to the races and watching his horses run. I'm sure he's with us in spirit. You know, we see him. His presence is always there. And, you know, so proud of Steve Brunetti to carry out his father's history with racing. And my brother Rick is assisting Steve in all the racing decisions. And he's a really top-quality guy and a wonderful horseman. And, you know, together, they put their heads together and have come up with a good game plan with the breeding operation and the private purchases and the babies. And so there's a lot of nice horses on tap for 2019, and it would be nice to have a year like 2018. You know, only time will tell, but with a little bit of luck, I think that we'll have a really big year with the Red Oak Stable in 2019.
Well, and you're really, you know, I don't remember if we talked about this at the time of the hopeful win, but you know, you've been instrumental, really, in the development of this horse, literally from the mating, right? I mean, Feel That Fire.
Yeah, I train Feel That Fire, and so it's, you know, it's nice to train, you know, horses. You train the moms, and you know, I remember her, and they're totally different horses. You know, she was a Rambuck, just real tough, big mare, and you know, he's real kind of. You know, smart and laid back, but, you know, he's all business when she will put the saddle on him. But, you know, just two totally different horses. His mother was, you know, always wanted to, he was very precocious and fast. And, you know, he has her speed, but, you know, he doesn't have that, that wanted to go. He'll, you know, do whatever you like.
Well, and...
But, no, it's a lot of fun when you train the sons and daughters of horses that you train.
Well, Greg, you didn't say what a lot of people say, a lot of trainers say when this comes up, which is, you know, you're getting old, quote.
Oh, no. Excuse me. I don't have to say it. I feel it. Yeah. The gray hairs certainly come in. It's wonderful. And, you know, wonderful being associated with the Brunettis and all the family history. It's just, you know, very, very proud to be associated with them.
And it's interesting with her, with Feel That Fire, too, because her full sister, I'm a Jersey Girl, who you've had, she has so far struggled a little bit with her get.
Yeah, you know, a couple of the foals, I know they bred her pretty nice stallions, and we haven't had any come here to us on the track yet, but I think there's a two-year-old this year. I think there was an Uncle Mo. I don't think that they, you know, physically were up to par.
Well, there's a Bodie Meister sister that.
Yes,
coming,
I think that's how to Feel That Fire, correct?
Yeah, My Gift From Above is her name, and
yeah, she was just named, she, they're high on her at the farm. Yeah, they've been in the process of breaking her, and they really like her.
Who? In fact, and another topic. While we got a chance. Who does the early development work?
The early development work is done by Barry Dolan. He's the farm manager, at Good Chance Farm, which is going to be renamed Red Oak. And it's in Ocala, a beautiful facility. They just put a lot of money into the track and the rail. And he does a wonderful job. He came from the vinery. He has, you know, came over from Ireland and worked with many of the big sales companies, Niall Brennan, Kieran Dunn, and Eddie Wood. So he has, you know, extensive background. He really does a wonderful job with the horses. And when they come to me, I know exactly what I'm getting and where I'm at with them. And just really, it's a big asset for a trainer to have horses shipped into you when they're in the shape they are from Barry. My brother oversees everything. He goes up once a week from Miami to Ocala, and he oversees everything there with Barry and makes all the farm decisions. And, you know, between Barry, my brother Rick, and Steve Brunetti, it's a great team.
Well, the results speak for themselves. Grade one winning Mind Control starts the march toward the classic season with the win in the Jerome, and did it with authority and with some style. And Greg, delighted for you and everybody. Warm wishes for a great 2019, and it doesn't get off to better starts than it did yesterday.
No, it doesn't. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you.
Greg Sacco, everybody, and Mind Control, Red Oak, one of the great names, and I can see that actually from, I was going to talk about the white jacket with the red dots, and you know, with Sol Kumin's Mattaket partnership coming in, it looks like they're alternating jackets, and because Johnny was wearing the Mattaket colors yesterday. So Sol Kumin off to a big start too in 2019. There you go. Mind Control, your first three-year-old stake winner on the Derby point scale as well, and really a smart move bypassing the springboard, same 10 points. So this was a stay-at-home success, Mind Control. And we'll watch for decision. Withers, Gotham, Wood. Greg Sacco. Take a break here. Top of the hour upon us. Hour two. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And in fact, Hill and Dale's Kitten's Joy finished atop the general sire list. And that was actually, I won't say an upset. We'll see what Sid says, but it seemed like Candy Ride, you know, with the, you know, speaking of inflated earnings from things like Pegasus, seemed like Candy Ride. But Kitten's Joy, you know, who's got progeny, you know, out and about worldwide, ends up as the leading sire. See what else we could talk about with Sid on that front. We got a whole bunch of topics, and we didn't get a chance to talk to Sid going out of 2018, but a chance to welcome the new year. Joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.